Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless. Today I want to talk about the FirstNet RFP that was finally released after all this time. To give you a little bit of history, FirstNet is a first responders network, and we started working on this back in 2011. 5 years later, the RFP is released. I gotta laugh because, I mean, it's 5 years. 5 years. I mean, I was actually making business development material for this back in 2011. I just thought that was funny. So here it is, 2016, and we can finally respond to the RFP. Oh, but maybe we can't. Why can't we? When you read the RFP, it's really written for carriers. They really don't want a system integrator to respond. How do I know that? When you look at the RFP, it's much more than just a system. They're not looking at just the LTE system and building that, not looking at just building a core. So end-to-end is, for them, is more than just the core out to the user device. What they're looking for is distribution, logistics, sales, customer representation, just for public safety entities out there. It's going to be a long day. It's hard to say. That's what they're looking for. So it's really going to be the carriers that deploy this. It's not going to be a system integrator. A carrier would have to partner with a system integrator. And I got to be honest with you, what they're really looking for is somebody who already has coverage, nationwide coverage, a carrier that already has coverage, an AT&T, a Verizon, a T-Mobile, a Sprint. So I want to look into who's going to do this and just go over it real quick. But first, before we go any farther, I want to thank Tower Safety. TowerSafety.com. Go to TowerSafety.com for all your tower training needs, say safety training at the tower site, rescue, RF training, and also for OSHA training. But now they have drone training. That's right, they have drone training. At TowerSafety.com, you can learn to use drones to do tower work. The other thing is, they're based in Phoenix, Arizona. They are a state accredited school. Ask your schools out there if they're state accredited, okay? It's a big deal. They will go to you. So if you have a group of people, you want someone to come into your facility and you have a tower to do training on, or if you just want OSHA training or CPR or first aid or something like that, they will come to you. One more thing, the Wireless Deployment Handbook. Yes, the Wireless Deployment Handbook, the LTE, Small Cell C-RAN, and DAS edition for sale now. That's right, folks. Just go to wadeforwireless.com and you'll see it on there somewhere. This is where this blog's at, by the way. Wade for Wireless. W-A-D-E, the number 4, wireless.com. Wade for Wireless. If you go there, the name of this particular blog post, and by the way, the book will be for sale in the blog post. You'll see a link for it. FirstNet RFP, deploy if you dare. And I got to tell you, that's exactly what it's going to be. Deploy if you dare, but it's going to be a carrier. The more I look at this, the more I read about it. Well, the more. I don't have to read a lot about it. They want a carrier, okay? Secret's out. And like I was saying, back in 2011, I thought they were just going to build a nationwide broadband system because that's what public safety does. And that's what the existing public safety entities like the state of Oklahoma, state of New Jersey, that's what they were looking into, building an LTE system at the time. But the feds nixed it. The feds wouldn't give them the bandwidth, but the spectrum would not give them the spectrum to do that. So to play it safe, the feds pulled everything back. They let a few people do some experimental things, but they want a nationwide broadband system that's LTE, that's compatible with their core. They want it to go into their core, but they also want it to be available to every public safety entity out there. I get what they're doing, but then they align with the carriers. I just find it interesting. I think they would have built a system, but I get why they did the carriers. They want end-to-end system. They don't want to deal with distribution. And their thinking is that the carriers can make this profitable. So they're going to look at what the carriers can do. They want the carriers to make it profitable. And by that, I mean, they want all the public safety entities out there. What I mean by that, it's first responders, right? It could be state governments, county governments, towns, cities, municipalities that want to use a broadband system to pass data, to show video, something like that. And what they want them to do, instead of paying a carrier like an AT&T, a Verizon, a T-Mobile, or a Sprint, they want them to pay the federal government. So they want the money to stay within the government. Is it worth it? I don't know. You know, I it's up to the public safety entity. And I will tell you this, the carriers are going to have an obstacle in the way, because when you deal with a public safety business, a carrier, what you're going to have to deal with is to have them work with the feds. See, they make decisions based on more than just good coverage and the best price. They're very political. They're going to say, I want to support the feds, so I'll go on it. I don't want to support the feds, so I won't go on it. And they don't always have the money to do things. You hear about these cities laying off firemen and policemen all the time. How are they going to afford this network month to month to month? I don't know. It's not, you know, it's not a problem, I guess, if they have the money. But if they don't have the money, it's a real problem. And as you know, all these state governments have serious budget problems. And that's how I look at this. You know, a lot of them have problems. I don't know what they're going to do. So who can do it? It's going to be a carrier, obviously, right? And the other thing to think about, there is a penalty here. If you don't get enough public responders on in a specific market, FirstNet is going to penalize you. Now, I didn't see this in the RFP exactly, but I do know they expect you to have so many public safety entities subscribing to it on a monthly basis, or they're going to penalize you or not pay you. I'm not sure how it's going to go. That's the thing. Donnie Jackson of UrgentCom magazine, which is urgentcom.com, I believe, and I have the link in the blog post. He wrote a great article. If you don't have enough subscribers on there that are public safety subscribers, you're going to pay a penalty. The good news is you can put your own people on, but if there's an emergency, you know, those people are low priority, so they could get shut off during an emergency. Now, the nice thing about a carrier, T-Mobile, AT&T, or Verizon, they could just, you know, you would just roam over to another band, which is probably going to have the same coverage. The only reason a carrier is going to do this is for the spectrum. It's a shame there isn't a startup carrier that could do this. That would be really exciting in my eyes, like a light squared. Too bad light squared's in dire straits, because think how good it would be if someone like that were to be able to build something up. FirstNet would help fund it, and then we could move ahead. It would be awesome, wouldn't it? Have another carrier out there, but it's not going to happen. So who's going to bid on this? AT&T, number one in the running. I would say they have the best shot at this. Honest to God, they do. They just have, they're set up. They want to do it. They're motivated. However, if Verizon were to bid on it, I think they would have probably the best shot to win it, as much as I like AT&T. But Verizon Wireless, I just think they're built a little bigger than AT&T Wireless, and I think they have a better network than AT&T Wireless. Now, with that said, I think T-Mobile could do it. T-Mobile's capable. They have a great system. They're very structured. They have a good organization. I think they'd be great to do it. And I think they have a need for the spectrum, or at least I think they want a spectrum. 700 megahertz, it's prime spectrum. But I don't think they want to do it. I don't think they want to deal with the problems of doing it. It's a hassle. It's a lot more work. They'd have to deal with a lot of new government customers. When you have to deal with the customers here, you probably have to set up shops in specific regions, or at least have sales people that can make calls out to these people. So I think T-Mobile would be a great contender. I really do. Now, I don't see Sprint doing it. Does anyone see Sprint doing anything productive at this time? They're a mess. I mean, honestly. They need to worry about their own system and deploying their own stuff before they worry about deploying anything else. So this RFP was definitely written for carriers. One thing about this RFP, FirstNet, they sort of pigeonholed themselves towards carriers, right? Obviously, that's what they want, nationwide carriers. So they narrowed it down to what? Basically four companies. They didn't go with CCA, they didn't go with Competitive Carriers Association and maybe try to work with them. They didn't try to do regional partnerships or anything like that. And quite frankly, FirstNet's a small group. That's probably why they did it that way. They probably just didn't think they could handle it. And maybe they can't. They don't want to deal with any of it. Am I right? In fact, that's why they want to put the penalties in there, because they want to get paid no matter what. I mean, how great is it to be a government and set a contract like this? That is, if somebody bids on it. If nobody bids on it, then it sucks. I mean, it's just not a good thing. You want to get competition is the whole idea of an RFP. And if AT&T is the only one that bids on it, I guarantee AT&T is going to sit down and say, hey, these are our terms, take it or leave it. And they'll probably negotiate both ways. I really don't see it going one way or the other. So with that said, let's look at the deployment scenarios. First, let's go over a timeline. 2016, release in January, release of the RFP. They expect responses by April of 2016. And chances are it is huge, so there may be delays. So let's say April, May. Let's say the responses are due May at the latest. And then let's say it's going to take them, if there's more than one company bidding on it, it's probably going to take them a couple months to make a decision, negotiate, work through the contract, work through the terms. I know if you look at it, there's terms in there, but I've just seen it go this way before. There's still negotiations that happen after the win. And assuming there's two, the first one could be disqualified for whatever reason. That could happen too. Assuming nobody bids on it, they'll have to rebid and it'll be delayed even more. So for you deployment teams, for you system integrators, for you installers, for you engineers, for everyone looking to work on this, I gotta tell you, it looks like 2017. Let's say the end of 2016 at the earliest. 2017 is realistic till they get all the tower work involved and everything. However, the good thing about a big carrier doing it, it won't be a true integration. It will just be an expansion. They'll just expand what they have. They'll replace radio heads or add radio heads. They'll add antennas. They'll replace antennas. It's going to be a lot of work for that. A lot of work like that is what I'm trying to say. What you're going to see is something of that nature. You're not going to see a deployment like if a new carrier and a system integrator teamed up to get it. That'd be great because then there'd be work for everybody. It'd be new work. The tower owners would get new leases, all the structurals would be done. It would be new work for everybody, it'd be a ton of work. But if you're already aligned with a carrier, say an AT&T or a Verizon Wireless, stick with it, buddy, because that's going to be good work if one of those guys wins. Now, I imagine AT&T is a front runner right now just because they've shown a sign of interest. So they'll probably do it. For all those companies like Motorola or Harris or Rivada, I think it's Rivada, that are interested in this, you just get ready to build a new system and sign up with a carrier anyway for an MVNO system. I just think it's going to be a lot of work for you guys. I don't see someone new stepping in and doing this. Even if Light Squared were established, oh boy, could they do it? They would probably do it just to build their system out and have FirstNet fund it. I mean, that's what I see. And again, it's a shame T-Mobile isn't interested because I think they would at least show a little competition and they're very aggressive. And one thing I've seen from Laguerre is that he does not like to fail. So for deployment teams, for all you guys in 2017, expect a lot of work. For all you engineers, structural engineers, for all you guys that run backhaul and do the router work, it's going to be a lot of work. In 2016, you RF engineers should get a lot of work. In 2017, you installation engineer or you installation teams and crews and tower crews and all you site engineers and even the optimization teams should get a lot of work. And it should roll on for a couple years. It's going to be a big build. It's going to take them 2 or 3 years if it's an existing carrier just to expand this much. And eventually somewhere like in, remember they have to cover a lot of real estate. There's going to be new towers built. If you're like me and you're thinking about small cells and DAS, I don't see any of that happen until 2018. I could be wrong, but even if AT&T wins, maybe it'll happen sooner, but they're going to want to build out the macro first. They're going to want to get the biggest bang for the buck before they even think about small cells or DAS. Eventually, they'll have to do that. They'll have to go down to the street level and then possibly in a lot of these buildings. And FirstNet will probably want to be covered in a lot of the buildings. 2018, 2019, that's what I see for the small cell deployments for FirstNet, probably through AT&T. So there it is, America. Deploy, deploy, deploy. An American system built here in the U.S. of A. Probably built with equipment, you know, obviously made in China. That's just the way it is. And I look forward to this because the first responders at least will have an option for a dedicated broadband network, right? So think of it. Police can get live video feeds right to their device. You know, they don't have to rely on a carrier. The ambulance drivers, they can get information updated to them in real time from the hospital, assuming everyone's on the same network. You have fire departments and 911 dispatch centers that can see this back at the at the dispatch center, see what's going on, maybe with a body cam. How cool is that? And then my favorite, you'll have the game commission where you can actually see the eagles in the nest. That's very important that we see that real time. I want to see the eagles. But it would be cool, you know, like with the first responders, if they actually had a body cameras, that would be really neat. Body cams. Man, that's a game changer. Think about it. I think that would be the coolest thing ever. It'd be nice if the public could see it, but how cool would it be if like 911 dispatch, if the dispatch center could see it so they could dispatch real time and they could get medical out there, they could get backup, whatever. By the way, if you guys are worried about tax dollars, this spectrum that we have for band 14 and everything, FirstNet was funded by the money that they got from the spectrum auctions, that the FCC got from the spectrum auctions. Out of that 30 or 40 billion, somewhere in there, that roughly 40 billion range that all the carriers paid for spectrum, 9 billion of it went to this. So it's paid for so far without tax money. at least tax money that I am aware of. And the other thing is, it's paid for, and they want to try to make it self-sustaining so there's no tax dollars used in the future, but who knows? There may or may not be. But I think that's why they want to go with a carrier, because they know that's their best shot of not using any tax money. I have all the links in there to the FirstNet RFPs if you want to download them. They're all in zip files and they're huge. So there you go, people. Be smart, be safe, and pay attention to what you're doing. See ya.